the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely,
true for you?
Because I can't.
Something's either got to be true or not.
I can't. No, no.
Welcome to Aureli Radio, show 103 for April 1st, 1924, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversations that'll make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, with my usual suspects, a whole lot of them. We got Michael Robinson. We got
How's it going, folks?
We've got David O'Connor back from his special assignment overseas.
Hey, it's good to be back.
And we've got the illustrious Stephen Griffith. Welcome!
About time to see where this government takes us.
Oh, my dear lords, yes. All right. Well, reviews and errata, we didn't have a whole lot from our show 102, so obviously you didn't catch all the mistakes that we did make. So, I highly recommend that you go ahead and email us in on the phonograph telegraph machine over to aureliradiopodcast@gmail.com. Or, of course, you could call up your telegraph provider at 470-222-6759, and they will connect you directly. Now then, let's see here. I believe that we have a special... Yes, hang on. Let me mount the phonograph machine.
Good evening from the Aureli Radio News Desk. In Germany today, Adolf Hitler was sentenced to 5 years in Landsberg jail for organizing the beer hall push. Hitler represented himself in the trial regarding his push for power in the German government. Also on this day in history, in 1865, the Confederates suffered heavy losses at the Battle of Five Forks. Union forces under Ulysses S. Grant triggered Robert E. Lee's eventual retreat from Petersburg, Virginia, and eventual surrender just 1 week later at Appomattox Courthouse. In 1877, Edward Schieffelin discovered the richest silver vein in the West, naming it the Tombstone Lode to mock fellow miners who told him, "All you'll find in that desert is your own tombstone." And finally, in 1918, the Royal Air Force was founded in Britain. Combining the Royal Flying Corps with the Royal Naval Air Service, Britain now presented three separate military services, each with their own ministry. And with that, I'll send it back to Andy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fred Sims. He's off in the desert getting himself hitched. What a maroon!
That sounds crazy.
It's me, Andy.
He just posted stories from a whole bunch of years that haven't happened yet.
I don't know
what to do.
He's a bit of a soothsayer. I believe that he might be practicing the yellow journalism. He's making things up.
Making things up as you go along? Come on, fella. We don't do that here.
That's not
We're
possible
a reputable
at all.
News source. Reputable, I tell you.
Speaking of a reputable news source, Professor Robinson, what do you have for us?
Oh, I've got plenty. That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial, for now it's time for Wonders in Science. That's right. I'm going to take you through the wondrous things happening in the world of science. Well, here we are on radio. What a time to be alive. Radio is truly changing the face of the world, and by God, I feel lucky to be a part of it. Why, just this February, the Royal Greenwich Observatory broadcast the first radio time signal. That's an hourly broadcast that we can all set our watches by. In trouble with the boss because your watches aren't synchronized? Never again, thanks to Greenwich Mean Time. Good on you, lads. And here at home, radio has been endorsed by none other than the Commander-in-Chief himself. That's right. In case you folks missed it, President Coolidge ended February with a broadcast straight from the White House. That's the spirit, Mr. President. Now, let's talk about the miracle of flight. We all know and love our boys, the Wright brothers, but there's been some interesting developments in Spain that I want to tell you about. A fellow by the name of Juan de la Cierva. Now, you've all seen an aeroplane work, right? You know, it's got the engine in the front spinning that propeller around and pushing it down the runway. And those wings provide the lift and take it off into the skies. Well, our Spanish friend here, what he's done is he's turned the engine on its side and pointed a propeller at the sky to generate lift instead of the wings.
Why, that's crazy.
They're calling it the autogyro, and I'm told that the advantage to this particular configuration is its ability to fly safely at much slower speeds. She's still in prototype development, but they have three very successful test flights this March, so things are definitely looking up.
I see what you did there.
Now, let's see here. What else have I got? Ah, since we're looking up already, let's talk about the stars. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the heavens. Why, just this January, a German fella named Karl Reinmuth of the Heidelberg Observatory identified a rather large asteroid they're calling 1056 Azalea. If I'm being frank, I have to admit that the importance of some of these things is a bit over my head. That being said, I recently caught wind of a development from the Deutsche Museum in Munich that I can definitely get behind. On October 21st of last year, they unveiled a planetarium projector. Now, what does this do, you ask? This device allows us to view the night sky with perfect clarity from the comfort of a theater. What's not to like about that?
I don't even know what that is, but I love it.
I think the only thing that would make that better is if they figured out a way to make the air cool inside.
Right? Well, hopefully our boys will be working on that soon.
I certainly hope so.
This planetarium sounds swell and all, but I think we should come back down to Earth to wrap this up. Also from last year, but definitely spreading, is a marvelous little device from one Herbert Grove Dorsey. He's developed a practical way of using high-pitched sound waves, of all things, to measure the open's depth beneath a ship's keel. It's called a fathometer, and it works by measuring how long it takes for those little sound waves to bounce back to the device from the ocean floor. No doubt this will lead to safer sea travel for our boys on the water, and as the son of a sailor, I can definitely appreciate that. That's going to wrap it up for me today with the wonders of science. I'm going to head it back over to you, Andy, with the news. Back to you, old chum.
Thank you very much, sir. I must say that some of those are very much out of my depth. Now, I believe we have some good news. Is that right, Mr. O'Connor?
You're talking about my story now. All right.
Yes, there was something going on in Cincinnati.
Yes, Cincinnati just finally opened up their first professional and fully paid fire department in the whole United States. Never before have we had one of these. It's all been volunteer, which is crazy. Just people with buckets. They've even invented something they're calling a fire engine. And it's steam-powered technology. Steam.
Now, that sounds an awful lot like the fire department's trying to make more fires. What with a fire engine?
Fire inside of a moving vehicle that carries water. It's very convoluted. But they're using fire to put out fire. And that's pretty cool.
Fighting fire with fire. That is a message I can get behind. And now I believe that we have, this just in, we have a new logical fallacy. This one's never been heard on the show before. It is the appeal to antiquity. An appeal to antiquity is the opposite of an appeal to novelty. Appeals to antiquity assume that older ideas are better, that the fact that an idea has been around for a while implies that it is true. This, of course, is not the case. Old ideas can be bad ideas, and new ideas can be good ideas. We, therefore, can't learn anything about the truth of an idea just by considering how old it is. For example, religion dates back many thousands of years, whereas atheism is a relatively recent development. Therefore, some form of religion is true. This argument is an appeal to antiquity, because the only evidence that it offers in favor of religion is its age. There are many old ideas, of course, that are known to be false, ergo, that the Earth is flat, or that it's still the center of the solar system. It, therefore, could be the case that the premise of this argument is true, that religion is older than atheism, but that its conclusion is, nevertheless, false, that no religion is true. We need a lot more evidence about religion or any other theory than how old it is before we can justify in accepting it as true. Appeals to antiquity are therefore fallacious, which is a fun word to say when you're not at a dinner party with your grandmom.
What? That went places I didn't expect it to go.
I imagine it didn't. I imagine it did.
Well,
I imagine.
Really, come on now, look who you're talking about. You should expect that from our host, Andy Cowan.
I am a bit irreverent.
I want a list of all unexpected things.
With the things? Well, here's something you didn't expect. A message from Sam Spade.
Sam Spade, Detective Agency.
It's me, Effie.
Oh, Sam, I've been worried about you. Sid Weiss was just on the phone, and he says digging up a corpse without a permit is against the law.
It's all right, Effie. I just dug him up to say hello and put him back again.
Oh, Sam.
I'll be down in a couple of minutes to dictate my report, sweetheart. If I get lost on the way, you'll find me in City Hospital, the psycho ward, third straitjacket from the left.
And now we're going to talk about the future.
The future.
The future. Yes. In fact, I have a special guest. The Swami Pastrami.
The Swami Pastrami, eh?
Ah, yes.
Sounds delicious.
Greetings for everyone, yes. I am the great and powerful Swami Pastrami, and I am here to tell you of the future. Would you believe that man will not only fly through the sky, but will eventually fly through space itself?
Now that one I think I can believe. Why, I tell you, with the way our boys are going, we'll put a man on the moon. The moon, I tell you.
Ah, I see that you are also able to look into the glass of the future. Yes, very cloudy it is, and some of these clouds are in the shape of a mushroom. They are very, very large. They may be a mushroom cloud from a large explosion, perhaps from a source yet untapped. It could be the end of the world, or the end of a war. Time will tell, but always in motion is the future.
The end of the world? Well, I think you're pulling my leg, Sonny. I mean, how could we possibly generate enough power to break the very Earth? I mean, we'd have to do something like break the fundamental pieces of the world in half.
Oh, perhaps you are onto something. Don't let a man named... What is it? Oppenheimer. Yes, I see it quite clearly. Yes, lo, I have become Death, the Destroyer of Worlds. Oh, my head. Oh, that was clear. Oh. Yes, you must beware of destroying the atom.
I'm still trying to figure out how their wings are going to work way up there. I thought these planes could only go so high and then they stall out.
Oh, they will use other methods of propulsion. Yes, they will throw themselves with fire. Very similar from what I hear your fire engine was doing. Something like that, but much, much more.
That's going to be a heck of a big engine.
You have no idea.
Some kind of metallic steam pile, you say? I guess I need to look at investments in the future.
Oh, yes. And your investments. Oh, your investments are... You must diversify. You must diversify. Do not put all of your eggs into one steel basket. It would be a very dangerous thing for your commodity trade.
Now that just sounds like poppycock.
Oh,
the
yes.
The financial markets are just booming along.
Come on now, fella. The American stock market's never been stronger, and it's only getting better from here.
Yes, that's what I hear. But soon within our days, we will see people falling from the buildings. It will be tragic. I see it in the future.
Well, if it is going to happen, I'll bet it'll be a Tuesday. Nothing good ever happens on a Tuesday.
I believe it, mate. I do not know. I'm very bad with dates. I am good with events, but I'm bad with dates. I cannot tell you. Except the dates that you eat when you soak them in the rum. Oh, now those. I'm very good with those dates.
Now that's a very good date.
Excellent. Oh, and before I go, there is something else that is in the future. But first...
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
I know that guy.
The shadow knows.
Yes, I have communed with the shadows themselves, and the shadows tell me that things will be very bad many, many years from now. It will be around the presidential election, similar to what we are having now, of course, with all of the run-up to take the White House. But there is a dark horse on the horizon, and his influence spreads far and wide. The states, Kansas, Mississippi, Georgia, and North Carolina, those are in particular very against our wives and our daughters and our mothers. They are very against women for some reason. It is unclear as to why they would wish to do so, but the very sovereignty of women itself seems to be in jeopardy. Something must be done.
I don't know what you're talking about. Women can't even vote yet.
Oh, but they will. They will.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred, that you're behind the times, but they've been able to vote since the 1920, August 18th, actually. I don't know if that was a great decision of this government and country, but we'll see how it goes. Maybe that thing you were talking about before about investments possibly failing could be due to women's voting. You know, those suffragettes.
Oh, you think it's like
that?
No,
I think you're being unfair there. The Wheel of Progress is going to keep turning whether you like it or not. I think we should embrace change. And it sounds absolutely ridiculous that we would ever turn backwards. If we've already passed this suffrage thing, why would we take it away? It doesn't make any sense. America was built on progress. Progress, I tell you.
Yeah, how much damage could they possibly do? We've got fire engines now. They can put out all the fires.
I believe that there is a cow that has great things to tell you about the fires.
Well,
there was a cow. You mark my words. There was a cow.
In Chicago, I think.
Yes, that is it. The Great Fire. I'm not sure if it was before or is after this.
I am unsure. They should definitely talk to Cincinnati about a fire department.
I am unsure about when this is, but yes, talk about that. Okay, now, I believe that I must go, because my voice is very, very raw now, and I must depart. May the Force be with you.
And also with you. Amen.
What are we, Catholic now?
Well, that was an interesting interlude. Who the heck was he?
I don't know, but he had some real fishy ideas.
These random people that come in all the time.
I do believe he's had too much bathtub gin.
He might have. We need to work on that. But we got to watch out for that prohibition.
Mm-mm. I like my gin dirty, but not that dirty.
Well, we're in the middle of it, so as of course, this is not alcoholic. That's why I'm in Canada right now.
Oh, that's just some of that Canadian mist, isn't it?
Exactly. What of a fog up here?
Yeah. Thick enough to drink.
Just across the border.
Wonderful. Well, I believe that's going to end our broadcast day. Thank you very much, everybody. And this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Gowan Services Network for 1924. Dun, 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 dun. And scene. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for helping us out here on our April Fool's edition of Oh Really Radio. Obviously, we're not in 1924, since they didn't have any video in 1924. Certainly no internet. But we hope that it was entertaining. So, but that went by really fast. So now we can actually chat about
like that. That was actually pretty good.
Thank you.
Hey, I didn't pull that on my butt. I wrote a script and everything.
Yeah, but you have to admit, this was last minute.
Yes. Yes, this was all last minute. Just like, hey, what can we do? Oh, wait, it's April Fool's Day. We ought to do something funny. So
yeah, I just pulled all that off the cuff.
Oh, so did I.
although actually, you say there was no TV back then, but actually, fun historical fact: mm-hmm. in February of 1924, John Baird sent the first rudimentary television pictures. So they were already working on it.
Excellent. Always ahead of the curve.
Chicago Fire occurred in 1871.
Okay, so good. There was a cow that said something about it. Excellent.
Yes.
Oh, that was... Ah. I probably ought to script those things.
Did you see the Quilted Northern...
Oh, yes. Yeah,
no,
I did.
I haven't.
Yeah, that Quilted Northern did...
Oh, my
God. Yeah, go ahead and describe it, because my voice is still recovering.
So it's...
Rustic toilet paper?
It's rustic toilet paper. Quilted Northern rustic weave.
Yeah.
Hand pulped.
It's a bit rough. A bit rough on the bum.
So I'm looking at that going, given a lot of things happen with hipster culture and everything else, artisanal toilet paper?
Yes.
Why? Why would you? Why?
Why not?
That sounds like a recipe for splinters.
Oh, just a bit. Just a bit. Okay, so...
I think I'd rather stick with banana leaves. Thank you.
Nice. Okay, so there were a couple things that my soothsayer there had brought in, and that would be that, you know, all the deals with North Carolina, Georgia, Kansas, and Mississippi, that they're all working on these anti-LGBT and anti-women, and certainly anything that they can work their magic around to Roe v. Wade.
They're just...
Yeah, it's really disturbing, and they're all doing it at once.
Well, yeah.
Well, the advantage is in Georgia, the governor deal actually is going to veto it. He said he's going to veto it, but then, of course, we have the question of whether or not the state legislature is going to try to overturn that.
Right, and
well, they can overturn it, and they can also resubmit it at a later time when the quote-unquote controversy has calmed down, because they got a lot of pressure from large corporations in Georgia.
A lot of those corporations, though, and a lot more corporations are now coming down and hammering North Carolina over this, and the governor there is always going on and on and on about how this is just an overblown hype and there's no real impetus or force behind this thing. And
no, of course not. Of course not. But
it's just coincidence that it's all happening in a bunch of different states at the same time with the exact same verbiage and all the laws.
Yep.
Yeah.
Coinciding.
Just coincidence.
Just a coincidence. Now, at least the North Carolina Attorney General is coming down on, like, I'm not going to defend this. No way.
Yeah.
This is just wrong.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, that's basically what he said. As Pope Deadpool out in the chat room says, the Kansas situation is insane, and I must agree. Though I'm not up on all the particulars, so let me see.
I can give a brief of that as you're pulling it up.
Do it.
Kansas passed a bill, and this primarily focuses around the schools.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Whereas if someone is in a bathroom and an LG, or specifically a trans person walks in, they are allowed to basically call in a bounty on that person for a minimum of $2,500 plus any additional like suffering or emotional distress payments that they might have suffered for a trans person being in the same bathroom as them. And the schools have to pay this.
Schools have to pay this?
Yep.
Are they trying to bankrupt their own schools?
Of course they are. They don't want people educated.
Have you followed Brownback's...
Oh, this is Brownback?
This is Brownback, okay. Kansas.
This makes all the sense in the world now.
Yeah, Georgia caved. We're going to see what happens there. I love the name of the Mississippi bill, which is Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act.
Wow.
Whatever that means.
That's literally turning the entire issue on its head and saying it's the government discriminating on us for our right to discriminate.
That's I'm butthurt because I'm not allowed to be a bigoted pig.
Yeah, on the screen we have the page that shows the, as it says, a $2,500 bounty to hunt for trans people in bathrooms.
This is literally going to be a witch hunt.
What I want to know about this is in Kansas, what is the penalty for a trans person being in a bathroom? Because, yes, it will be annoying and it will hurt some people initially, but it will prove a point where you get somebody who has a bunch of trans friends get them to go into the bathroom and then call a bounty on all of them, because if it's less than $2,500, like any kind of penalty they're going to have to pay.
Are you trying to profiteer off their ignorance?
Absolutely.
You don't think the students are going to do this?
Because they absolutely are. Kids are vicious. If there are loopholes that will make them money without seriously hurting their friends, they'll do it.
And I would approve of that.
Oh, you're going to have a group of kids get together, and some of them are just going to be like, yep, I'm trans now. And they're going to roll into one of the bathroom. They're going to get the $2,500 bounty, and they're going to split it amongst themselves. And that's how this is going down.
Yeah, this kind of abuse is like the satanic temples.
It's like, why don't you just pay the students? just get it over with. Just pay the entire student.
Just
get it over with.
Well, that's one option, I suppose. Not a good option, but yeah,
that's what they're going to end up with. They're going to end up with just absolute rampant abuse of this law.
I hope so. Well, because again, as we showed in Georgia, as might happen here in North Carolina, the only way to get these people to pay attention and to actually say, "Hey, this is a bad idea," is to hit them in the pocketbook, or at least seriously threaten it.
Yeah, it says right here, in the bathroom could sue their school for $2,500 every time that it happened. Ooh. But they'd have to sue to get it, so there's no there's no non-judicial process in place to get this done, which means it's going to clog up the legal system, which means that any small-time deal, any small claim, actually, no, anything more than $500 is technically a felony, isn't it?
For damages? No.
Well, I know. Well, theft, at least. Anything more than 500 is a felony. So, I don't know.
This depends on the state, too, and some of these.
Now, did this get passed? This passed, didn't it?
I do believe so.
Let's see here.
Yeah, at the very bottom. This now puts Kansas in the position
30-8?
Passed the sweeping anti-transgender bill. Yeah.
And then 89-39.
Yep.
Yeah. But again, the greatest thing I've seen so far is a picture of a semi-obese man in very naughty negligee next to a actual transgender woman. And the picture of the man in the negligee was this is what Republicans think a transgender person looks like. And the other person was, this is what a transgender person actually looks like.
Yeah. Well, who's to say? I mean, there are some women that simply look mannish and some men that simply look feminine, and they're not transgendered at all. That just happens to be the way they were made. And then it's up to some discretionary thing, you know, somebody's mind is, I don't like the way you look. I'm going to have to check your genitals.
I'm glad to see what it says on the bottom of that thing, where South Dakota and Tennessee's bills actually were either vetoed or died.
Yeah, I like seeing that they were vetoed or died, but I don't like that that's two more states that were also trying the shenanigans.
What happened 20 minutes ago?
20 minutes ago?
Oh my God, I fucking hate you right now.
What are you talking about?
Mike's thing. What happened there?
That was when you picked the logical fallacy for our old-timey radio show to be appeal to antiquity, you asshole.
What? You did not see that coming? Really?
I did not see that coming. I wish I had, because I would hate you less right now.
You totally should have seen that coming.
You fucking asshole.
Maybe you need a tinfoil pyramid hat. And then you too could see the future.
See the future. In the future.
The bones tell me nothing.
You guys.
So
I'm not checking the chat during the show, so it's like, you can hate me all you want. I'm not even going to look at it because I'm doing...
I mean, I do. I will never not hate you, just so you know.
That's fine. I'm used to this. Okay, so.
I just posted a picture in our chat. You can throw that up there if you want.
Yeah, that's the...
That's a transgender woman to man.
Yeah, we threw that one up for one like it, I think, last week.
Oh, yeah, last week's, I think, was...
I think that's
incredibly
buff, built guy, and, yeah, people wouldn't realize that that's a transgender guy.
Yeah.
Female to male, like, holy crap, he's... That guy's a dude. I'm like, Jesus, he's worked out.
I think that's the same dude.
Yeah. I think that's the same guy.
I do believe
right. Yeah, that is the same dude. So, yeah, we could... We can just refer you to last week's show. But thank you, because that's...
It's still relevant to today's story.
It is quite relevant, So just because of that, yes, I will go ahead and I will copy it over so that everyone can see what the heck we're talking about. So there we go. Paste and go. There you go. That is the face of a transgender.
$2,500 bounty, folks.
Well, again, like we said,
good luck.
In the states where it is now required for you to use the bathroom, you would be "quote unquote" assigned to at birth. Imagine all of the white women screaming in terror as this guy walks into their bathroom.
Yep.
Yeah.
In a southern state.
Yeah, in a southern state.
Oh wow.
He will not walk out alive.
No. No, that would not go well. Though, I kind of think that might be able to take care of himself.
Maybe.
Just maybe.
Maybe.
So, yeah, definitely looking good. I mean,
I don't know, maybe it's all the straight GOP guys getting worried that their wives are going to go after, you know, guys who look like this now, because, damn.
Well, that's possible. That is possible. I do not know. So, let's see. So, that was Kansas, which was ridiculous. Are there any states that haven't come up with this recently? Any red states that haven't come up with this kind of stuff recently?
I don't think so. Not that I've heard of.
Because they're all just, ew, icky, no, I don't want any of that. No, think of the children. Okay, how about we think of...
how many times your children watch other people pee in the bathroom.
Well,
your children watching other people pee in the bathroom?
Yeah, speaking of the bathroom, okay, how about we just remove the urinals and just put in stalls? You know,
I'm in favor
nothing
of...
Nothing but stalls.
Nothing but stalls, every bathroom, and in fact, knock down the wall between the two, and...
You only need one.
Have
one
an enormous bathroom.
Large bathroom.
Yeah. With twice the number of handicap spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom.
I don't see why this is even a problem. A unisex bathroom works in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, I've got two bathrooms. I don't care who pees in them. As long as they pee in the right place. I don't care. Which is, of course, a problem in many gas stations around the country of people not peeing in the right place anyway.
Lift the lid.
They can't even hit the urinal.
Yeah, it's like, or the toilet, you know.
How did you get the back wall? I don't understand.
How did that happen?
Doing?
Yeah, it's like, was there yoga involved here? Some acrobatics? Were you standing on your head?
Don't ask.
How did you hit the ceiling?
Yeah, how are there footprints on the ceiling?
Spider pig.
Yeah, exactly. Spider pig. Yeah. Yeah, just ridiculous. None of this makes any sense, and the longer that we, the more of it that we see go on, it doesn't make any sense at all, other than these people just feel bad about it, feel icky about it, don't want to deal with it, want it to go away, and it's not. And it's never going to go away. So they need to get over it.
Yep. The Roman Empire dealt with all kinds of stuff.
Give it a couple generations.
The Holy Roman Empire was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire. Discuss.
Although I will disagree with the first part of that statement, and you can argue with
I'm just quoting.
just saying.
I would say it was kind of an empire. Yeah, I know. I would say it was an empire. Really.
It was definitely an empire, and it was definitely holy because Charlemagne was super devout.
Yes. I have to agree. But the circle gets the square.
Humanity could be debated.
A lot of everything can be debated. Absolutely everything. Except, I don't understand why we absolutely have to have segregated bathrooms.
And to maintain some of that mystery of women and men, men, most people I've dealt with, don't really think about what women do when they go to the bathroom. They go from this mysterious fairyland, and they don't want to know the sounds and the smells that come out of there. Because, as anyone knows, it's probably worse than what we experience and what we ourselves have.
Well, I don't know. Everybody goes in... they go in groups, which is intimidating.
I don't understand why... I don't understand that mentality. Everybody poops. I read the book in medical school. I know this to be true.
These things happen.
What? They poop? I don't believe it.
Everybody poops.
Well, no, remember, there's three books. There's Everybody Poops, there's Nobody Poops But You, and there's You're a Naughty Child, and that's concentrated evil coming out of the back of you.
Yes, but that's only for the Catholics.
Only for the Catholics, yeah.
I was raised Catholic.
Then you know the book. Okay, so...
they beat you with it.
Pope Deadpool is contributing news in the middle of the show. Florida Supreme Court allows utility-backed solar amendment on ballot. Floridians will get a chance to... this fall to put solar energy regulations into the state constitution. Into the constitution?
Okay, let me do a quick explanation. Let me do a quick explanation of this because this is important and I didn't understand this until later. This is the reason why we have the pig amendment in the constitution. Any ballot amendment, ballot initiative in Florida that passes makes a change to the Florida constitution. It's not like books.
Wait a second. Can you say that again?
For the cheap seats.
Yeah.
And for the people who just really can't understand that because it blew me away.
Yeah.
Anytime, if the legislature passes a law, it just becomes a regular law. There's no problem. The way the Florida Constitution itself is written, it says any public ballot initiative or any ballot initiative that gets passed... it makes a change to the actual constitution of the state of Florida.
That either makes it very strong or the entire constitution very weak.
My opinion is, honestly, it makes it very weak because it allows, or it makes the ability to pass things much more difficult, because for people who don't understand that little thing, an initiative that people are not, or say certain lawmakers, do not want to get passed, they say, oh, look, they're trying to change the constitution of the state. Look what they're doing. Not realizing that any of these is going to change the constitution of the state.
Oh, my gosh.
Again, anyone who was around here about 10 or 15 years ago remembers the big thing about a ballot initiative about how pigs would be held in cages, whether or not even that was legal. And when that passed, that got put on the Florida state constitution.
Neat.
Neat. Is that what we're calling it? I'm not sure that's neat. Written. That's pretty bad.
I'm calling it neat because I live in Minnesota now.
Minnesota's
probably not so cool for you down there.
I don't know. Minnesota's looking better all the time.
What this will do to solar power.
Yeah, so let's look at the solar power thing. So the Florida Supreme Court, in a 4-3 ruling Thursday, found that wording of a controversial bill ballot initiative backed by major utilities meets the legal standards to go before voters in November.
Okay. Legal standards. Reading this deeper and reading it through, I now know what this is, and I agree with people who are against it. So anybody out there in Florida, pay attention to this. Because the way it's worded, what this is going to do, and the exact quote from here is, it's... the amendment hoodwinks voters by giving them the impression that it will encourage the use of rooftop solar when, in fact, it would do the opposite. Basically, the wording of this bill, what it's going to allow the utility companies to do is for the utility companies to maintain control over solar energy and limit private use.
Yeah, but critics express disappointment as they contend the measure is simply an effort by utilities to maintain control over solar energy. That's lame. So,
yep.
essentially, you would never be able to get off of utility power. You cannot do it legally in the state of Florida.
Yeah. Yep. And, well, it'll go right into the state constitution that you can't get off of utility power, which will be really neat.
Yeah. That's bad.
And it's probably going to go through because Florida's absolute just champion when it comes to voting against their own self-interest as a population.
Lately, yes. Absolutely. And by lately, I mean like the last 15, 20 years.
30 more.
Yeah.
I mean, the last good thing we did was named Lawton Chiles.
Yeah, sadly.
And then we elected a Bush.
I miss Lawton Chiles, and I was a Republican back then.
So this is fun. Okay, so with deep financial support from Florida Power and Light, Duke Energy, Tampa Electric, and Gulf Power, the Consumers for Smart Solar proposal had raised $7.22 million as of February 29th compared to the $1.55 million raised by Floridians for Solar Choice. So essentially, they're just throwing seven times more money at it.
Yeah.
Last six times. Yeah.
Yep.
Money, 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 money. Hey, how about that, Citizens United? Free speech. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Money is speech, baby.
Money
is
speech. So.
And corporations are people.
How's that free speech treating you? Yeah. So that's fun. Thank you. Thank you very much, Pope Deadpool, for putting that out there for us to chew on. That's something that I did not know about that. Definitely, I think all of our listeners needed to know about.
Yes, thank you.
So much for being in the sunshine state and actually thinking that you can take advantage of all that sunshine.
Nah.
Yeah. Even in a tiny house? Yeah. Any house. It doesn't matter. There was a lady that
If you have a domicile on land in Florida, yeah. The utility owns you, essentially. You cannot go off-grid.
If public utilities are run to the plot of land, you are required to use it, essentially. Or pay a fine.
I'm pretty sure that there was a story a while back of people who did not have utilities run to their plot of land, and they were forced to get utilities run to their plot of land, thereby.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sometime between May and July of 2015, actually maybe even 2014.
Yeah, it was earlier.
It was a requirement made that off-grid living basically was illegal because it mandated all of them be connected to the power grid.
Lame.
So they and got we have you a weak by power both grid. Balls here.
Yeah, and we have a weak power grid. We haven't done the investment to make the power grid smarter. I mean, they've done some.
I have lived in a lot of places. Florida's power grid is the absolute worst.
That's saying something. Because I've traveled around a lot, too. And, yeah, that's really saying something.
As a military brat, I moved around a lot. I've lived in Hawaii, of all places. Mm. Just worst, the worst.
It's pretty bad. Well, I think that, we've gone through a lot of things. Are there any stories that we absolutely must bring up this week other than having our fun?
Must? No, there's one I would like to, but I don't know how well it's going to go over.
That's fine.
What's the story?
Yeah.
Trump's comments on abortion.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
We should talk about that. Because he was
don't want to talk about that.
He was the dark horse that was foretold.
I don't I'm just getting so tired of hearing about him just in general.
Let me go into this a little bit because this actually – he actually, with this whole thing, actually had a chance to gain a few points of respect from me. No, I don't like him. No, I don't like the stance. But I've heard a lot of people out there, especially on conservative boards and everything else, always talking about wanting to make abortion illegal, completely outlawing it. I'm like, okay, cool. And finally, Anderson Cooper, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
asked him the question that I've been asking people for about 4 or 5 years now, which is, okay, assume that goes through. Abortion is now illegal. Okay. What happens to a woman who seeks an abortion or let alone gets it? And most of them have no answer, or they think, oh, well, she's just a victim. Okay, well, it's not a problem. You know, they go for the doctor. I'm like, no.
Hold on. I've got.
That's not cool.
Hold on. So I've
two
got.
People are breaking the law here.
Yeah. Here you go. Hang on. At least as soon as it comes up. Thank you, Facebook, for being slow.
Chris Matthews and Donald Trump.
Should the woman be punished for having
abortion? Oh, Chris Matthews.
Look. This is not something you can dodge. If abortion is a crime or abortion is murder, you have to deal with it under the law. Should abortion be punished?
Well, people in certain parts of the Republican Party and conservative Republicans would say, yes, they should be punished.
How about you?
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. It's very hard.
But you're forbidding
it. Are you going to say, well, wait, are you going to say put them in jail?
No, I'm asking you, because you say you want to ban it. What's that mean?
I am pro-life, yes.
What is ban? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had, where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it.
They go to somebody who flunked out of medical school.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I think I.
How do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally, I get to the question. Here's my problem.
But let me ask you. But what do you say about?
It's not funny.
Your church? Yeah, it's really not funny. Like, what do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're allowed, but the churches make their moral judgments. But you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? As a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 cents, 10 years.
I don't know.
You take positions and everything else.
I do take positions and everything else. It's a very complicated position.
And then go.
So basically, once again, he has said absolutely fucking nothing for about 10 minutes.
Well, the thing is, if he had actually stuck with that, I would actually have given him respect. Not much, but respect. Now, before I go into this deeper, let's say, I am a person who believes that abortion should be fully able to be had at any time for any reason by a woman. Let me put that out there. But under the idea of if we make it illegal, no, it's now a crime. Thus, yes, a person needs to be punished for this. Yes, the doctor would need to be punished for the one who will be performing it, but the person seeking it should also be punished as they are also a criminal. Otherwise, why are we punishing people who hire hitmen? You know, as a perfect corollary example. Donald Trump has since really backed away from this stance, as any person in this position is likely to do, which in a way I understand, but also makes me sad, because, again, for a second, I actually had a couple points of respect for him.
I can't have any points of respect for that at all. I mean, sure, you can go ahead and stick with the argument and take it all the way to the conclusion. Yeah. So
yeah, you can stick to your guns and all that, and sticking to your guns can be a respectable position. But when the guns you are sticking to are, you know, douchebaggery, that's not respectable. That's just another level of douchebaggery.
Well, it was more respectable in the fact of if you take a legal position saying this should be illegal, and then say yes, the people who pursue that act should be punished. And I go,
it's,
okay,
but it's
I
still
can disagree, we can argue.
It's still not respectable to back a morally reprehensible position, legal or not.
No, I'm saying more from an actual legalistic perspective than a moral position.
I don't think the two should be separated ever, because that's how you get the Republican Party.
Moral position that states that abortion is wrong, and those that have an abortion and those that provide abortions are killers.
But there's also a moral position available outside that. There's another alternative.
So we have competing moral positions here, and the law has to stand in the middle somehow.
The law has to side with a secular moral position, because we are a state, we are a nation of freedom of religion, which also means freedom from religion. If you write a law that is based on a moral judgment that is derivative of a religion, that law is wrong, because it forces religion upon someone who does not necessarily follow that religion. That is morally reprehensible. So the only laws in a free society that can have any kind of moral justification are those that come from secular morality. All others are morally questionable.
Yeah, but then you get into the question of what is morality. And really, all of our laws, you know, if we think about it, because you've heard, we've probably heard the argument that you can't legalize a moral or something like that.
You can't legislate morality.
Yeah, that's it. But that's wrong. Right. That's absolutely wrong.
That's incorrect, because we have, the world over, we have legislated morality. We have
Well, that's what our laws are.
We have agreed upon things that society in general finds wrong. Taking something that isn't yours. Killing another person. These things are wrong. We agreed that they are wrong. We have established morality by consensus.
The laws are the morals of the society that you live in.
They're constraints on social behavior. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's
and
just
that's
the way
what
it
morality is.
Is. Yeah.
So in a location that is, you know, 99% of the moral opinion that abortion is wrong, should their laws differ from a location where it's, you know, swings?
Well, their laws will necessarily differ. Their laws will necessarily differ because the consensus is different, but that's not the point.
But we're
here.
Also
the
talking
point.
About this on a federal level, which affects all communities.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. If you live in the United States, you have agreed to be part of a greater whole. Regardless of what your local community believes, you are part of a greater community. If the greater community as a whole, by majority vote, as we have all established, is the law of the land here, decides that your morality does not apply for whatever reason, you have to abide by that.
It's a lot of playing fast and loose with the whole state right versus federal right, you know,
which
ordeal.
We have already established is no longer a thing. You lost the Civil War, South. You lost.
Yeah, but it's not just the South that would like to play this game. You know, there's
it's primarily the South.
Well, on issues when
it's kind of the center of the nation at this point.
On issues when it's morality based, you know, and has anything to do with a woman's reproductive cycle. You know, because that includes how to have sex, when to have sex, if to have sex, and what to do after you've had sex. It's all just women's sex life. That's really it.
Yeah.
They could care less about what a guy's doing with his dick. Really.
Could care less.
Because it's usually the guys that are making the laws, and the women that are making the laws that are still against their own best interest, which I don't understand why they're doing it, but usually it's because of some religious writ that is in their head that they have to then mandate out, which is, again, they're just speaking for the patriarchy that they've been brought up in.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of damage. Obviously, I'm an atheist, so this is what I think. But, you know, if you follow it down, it's these morals are being handed down. That argument from antiquity thing, you know, it's always been done this way. So we have to always do this way. A woman is only worth half a man's value. And, you know, after, the rapist can pay what, 50 shekels of silver and
something like that.
Yep.
And marry you off.
Of silver, and he has to marry the daughter.
Yeah. So, and we basically have laws like that where the rapist has visitation rights or any custody rights over the child of that interaction.
Well, great news for rapists then. 50 Israeli new shekels equals 13 and a quarter US dollars.
Really?
No.
You did the conversion.
Your next wife could be cheap.
Oh, God. Mail order bride, only 50 shekels. Maybe used. Oh, that was wrong.
Not
I shouldn't have said that.
Ouch.
I shouldn't have said that. That was. Ooh, I did a
awful.
Bad, bad thing.
You should feel bad.
I do feel. I feel a little bad.
No, in the future, in a nearby future episode, I'd love to actually go into like the equality differences between men and women when it comes to medical services, especially reproductive medical services, because I had no clue until I had some people and some women talking to me about the fact that there are certain things that the doctors will not perform on them, even though they want it. It's their choice, but the doctors refuse because they might change their mind, or their future husband might have a problem with that. So I would love to go into that, but that's half an episode by itself.
Wow.
Well, technically, we've only been running for about an hour, actually. So even if we wrapped up, you know, we still have a lot of time technically set aside for the show. Though there's no mandate that the show go 2 hours, ever, or 3 hours, or however long we want it to go. It's when we're done.
When you dropped this April Fool's thing on me, I didn't even look at what actually went on this week. I did nothing but write my
you did fantastic.
My old-timey science script.
You did wonderfully, sir. That was
I was very enthusiastic awesome. About this joke.
That was awesome. Great job.
Yeah, one of the people in the chat room. Yeah, we do want to probably go to some of the April Fool's things that occurred today. I think we'll do that near the end of the show if we remember to. But that some of those were amazing today. I will say that.
I don't even know that I really want to, because I want to keep as much satire away from the show as possible, because all the things that we said, even in the joke, were real.
Yeah.
True.
You know, yeah. All we did was just change when our perspective of talking about them. That's all we did. Yeah. We changed ourselves, not the facts.
Fair enough.
So that's just, I'm trying to keep the show as clean as possible, as real as possible, so that we don't confuse things. Because we are in an election cycle where every little bit of satire makes me say, did Trump say that? Or is it just something that came out of The Onion?
Yeah.
Well, again, it's one thing I've heard comics talk about, and we see past things like with Bush, with Clinton, with the original Bush, with Reagan. Remember the old Saturday Night Lives? They were amazing doing political commentary and comedy and parodying people. But you look at the problem they're having with most of the people, especially with the mass of people they had that were the Republican lineup, you can't parody those people because they're doing it themselves.
Well, the problem is the parody is the parody is you can't go that far.
No, they're already going to the extreme.
They've already gone too far. They've gone past where it was already funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they just kept going. And it's like, look, it wasn't funny like an hour ago. Yeah. And you're still going. This is all
it's
bad.
Not funny anymore. It's just sad.
Everything you're doing is bad. You should feel bad. You are bad. Stop.
Yeah.
But no, of course not. That's not what happens. It's terrible. And my hat's off to specifically The Onion, because they do it right. The other satire sources out there, they're far too confusing. I can't tell.
I have my own problems with The Onion since what happened to them happened recently, and I've seen a change in their tone and how they do certain things. So,
do you think their tone is changed because of the way life has become?
No, it's their tone changed almost immediately after they were bought out by a former major person of Hillary's campaign.
I did not know that they were purchased.
Yes. Or they became the CEO. Something along those lines.
Huh.
They became controlling, and I watched a tone change in it. I'm going, almost immediately.
That's unfortunate. But one thing that I must still give them is that I can tell that what they're doing is satire, and it's funny.
You can tell at a glance.
I can tell it's satire, and it's hilarious. I never once think that it's so close to true. You know, it's just like that hair off true. When the very next week, that could be reality or worse. And that's a lot of what I've seen in this election cycle. It's ridiculous, and I've noted it for probably the last 5 years. It's just been this way. The world seems to be bent on twisting itself up in knots. I mean, I would hate to be a fiction writer right now. You know, because you can't make things up.
The world is
far too crazy. I can't make anything up. All I can do is become now I have to do biographies. I just have to write it down as they say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny enough. All I have to do is, you know, just put them in the right order and it's fine. Oh, just follow around Donald Trump with a stenographer, and man, it's gold. It's absolute gold. One thing that I did that I wanted to bring up, in addition to the horrible things he was going through, was Trump's campaign manager apparently allegedly attacked a reporter for Breitbart. And it was a woman that was attacked, and he has since been let go. But there's been a bit of a little aftermath there. Trump himself said something, And also Piers Morgan said something that both of which are, I can't tell if they're just so misogynistic that they don't understand they're being tone deaf or if they really are this moronic. Trump said, how do you know those bruises weren't there before? Piers Morgan says, that wasn't battery. Toughen up.
Yeah. Clearly one doesn't understand actual legal definitions. The other one's an idiot.
Yeah, but which one's which? I can't even tell. Let me see here. Let me see if I can get the... I can pull this up. I know I can.
Apparently, as Pope Deadpool says, it's actually on video and the man is currently out on bond.
Good. But still, if it's on video, then how could the Donald possibly, you know, say this?
He didn't watch it. He doesn't care.
I would say he just doesn't care, yeah. So here, let's see here. It's courtesy of Mediaite. Thank you, guys. Always doing a good job of pulling the stuff.
She knew she was on tape. Take a look at that. You have to see it.
He did see it.
Look at her initial statement. It sounded like she got thrown out of a building. You take a look at that, and you, and then, excuse me?
She did get bruises on her.
I don't know if they were bruises from that. Why? Who said they were bruises from that? How do you know those bruises weren't there before?
That's what the police.
I don't know what the police said. How do you know those bruises weren't there before? I'm not a lawyer, but she said she had a bruise on her arm. I mean, to me, you know, if you're going to get squeezed, wouldn't you think that she would have yelled out a scream or something if she has bruises?
You have to scream?
Take a look at her.
Let me ask you about
take a look at
moving goalposts.
Yep.
Facial expression doesn't even change. So, you know, you say bruises are up. How did they get there? Who put them there?
It's called professionalism and shock.
I'm sticking
or tolerance to pain.
I'm not going to let a person's life be destroyed over somebody that we have on tape. And you just take a look at what people are saying when they see that incident on tape. And no juror.
And there are the bruises from Michelle Fields. I guess these just magically appeared on me. She tweeted out. Yeah, and those, and I see divot, 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 divot.
Yeah. Finger,
those are fingers.
So what happened, guys? I did not see the full video of what happened to her.
I did not see it either. All I've seen is just this terrible aftermath. So,
Can anybody comment on that?
Do you know, Steven?
I'm going to find out here.
Can't.
Let's see.
I'll go over to Piers Morgan burying himself as well.
He's classic douche.
He is a classic douche. Yeah, so that's it. Here's the video apparently. Is it the video? Let's see. Oh, it's
yeah,
a security video.
You'll see it.
I don't see where it's happening. I did not see it.
Is it in the middle?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where it went.
I see it.
Where?
Near the end, about...
Yeah, but where on the screen?
22 seconds in. She's the woman in the yellow pullover with the auburn hair.
Yeah. Right here?
Okay.
You see the guy reach forward, grab her, almost yank back as he steps past her. As they go into almost the quote-unquote slow motion.
Okay, so watch her. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, you see her basically being just almost tossed back. It took me a few times to look through it to actually see what was going on, but
okay, so and
it's
rolling
clear
it
when
forward.
You take a look at it.
Yeah, there it is.
That isn't just a light touch.
No, that was being yanked. You know, I imagine the Secret Service would have done a similar action.
Yeah, but the Secret Service can get away with that legally because they're doing security.
Because it's the Secret Service.
However.
Yeah.
It's not his job.
A campaign manager is by no stretch of the imagination law enforcement and or security personnel.
Yeah. And having worked security, I can say no. What he did was entirely wrong.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, you put your body between them with no... you know, actual hand physical contact like that, but you don't grab and yank.
Yeah, because as soon as you invade the personal space, you have now committed a crime.
You are now the aggressor.
Yeah, yeah, that touching like that, what he did there, and the damage caused, that technically, I believe, classifies as battery, if not assault.
Well, no, assault is with words.
Yep, a battery is...
Battery is with touch.
Yeah.
Unwanted touch is battery.
The moment you grab someone, even... It doesn't even have to be hard. When you grope someone, that's technically a battery.
Unwanted touch is battery. So, yep. Well, that's interesting. So, Piers Morgan is... I think Piers Morgan is just a little tone deaf. He's just not understanding the...
Piers Morgan is just trying to be relevant as a D-bag.
And the funniest thing in the world is, as he is a person who is trying to represent Britain over here, and he is one of the single most hated people in the UK.
Yeah, he's not very popular.
I'm not a fan of Piers Morgan, and I am not a fan of Simon Cowell. I think both of them are colossal b-holes.
Yeah. You know, actually, at the very end there, it looked like he actually was going after somebody else, too.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that they're abusive pricks.
Yeah.
And... Oh, of course Piers Morgan would say that. He's an abusive prick, is my mentality of the man. So,
yeah, this person right there.
It's like, what does Mrs. Morgan look like on
that looks like
basis?
That could be a compatriot or somebody, because it looks like he catches her. Or she's thrown back into him.
Yeah, and then he's like trying to then accost him like, hey, what's the deal or what's going on?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Yeah, and then he had the intention of interceding himself in between, and he got carried away. I think that's what happened, to be charitable. But still, the minute you lay hands on somebody that does not want your hands on them, it's battery, period.
You know, I've rushed through a lot of airports on my way in a dead run to catch a flight, and I've never had to grab someone and yank them back out of my way.
True. Yeah.
You can push past people without grabbing and throwing them, which is actually less efficient than just rushing past them.
However, well, we all know there's a main reason why you were able to do that, and that's because you were white.
Let's be real here.
Really? We had to go there?
What? Let's be real.
I don't think
it
was
so
relevant.
Things.
I just don't think it was relevant. I don't think that's necessary.
Well, you may be rushing through an airport, man, at this point.
maybe. I don't know.
Lots of people run through airports.
Like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders runs through airports all the time.
Especially Atlanta, because fuck that place.
Yeah, that's a massive fucking airport.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's true. Let's see, just random things that are in my my list here. Southern Asia's nuclear powers, something going on there. Oh, here's some good news. Actually, I need to pull that copy and stop that one. Nope. Stop that right now. I want that over here. Because it's video, and it's awesome. Cancer blood test.
Ooh.
A single drop of blood can now detect most types of cancer.
Nice. What?
71 to 96% accuracy involves extracting the platelets from the blood and examining them. Platelets are disc-shaped components of the blood that assist in blood clotting. They also play a role in tumor growth and progression. Platelets of cancer patients contain unique RNA markings. RNA markings carry DNA's instructions of different tumors. They can be used to detect the presence of cancer.
Neat.
And even identify the types of cancer the patient has. Researchers are currently optimizing the test to improve its accuracy. And that was the Cancer Center of Amsterdam. And let's see, where else were the sources? Harvard Medical School, Frank May, Thrombosis Advisor, and Nature Video RxTN. So,
yeah, for the most part, this is old technology. That's the way most cancers are detected, actually, nowadays, is through blood tests. But the fact that it can now be done with one drop of blood is nice, rather than the practical pint they take nowadays.
Yeah, and for each test. But this one is a full battery. on a single drop of blood. That's amazing stuff. This is where, you know, you're going to get your tricorder and, like, just drop something in. Sorry to hear this, but you have pancreatic cancer.
Take these two pills and call me in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Doctor gave me a pill and I grew a new kidney.
Oh, if only we could do that, right?
Who remembers that Star Trek movie?
Kidney dialysis.
I certainly do.
What is this, the Dark Ages?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
An MSNBC reporter admits that they're not journalists.
Wow.
Of all the more, you know, edgy and politicized groups out there, MSNBC is actually the one that is more journalistic.
Here, it's on video. On the air Monday, MSNBC's Tony...
On the Young Turks.
Dokupil? I cannot pronounce that name. Dokupil? Okay. Let's slip the mainstream media's dirty little secret that they trade softball interviews for access. Shocking.
No way.
So that unlike radio host Charlie Skykes, most reporters can't afford to ask Donald Trump tough questions.
I mean, before we beat ourselves up too much for not challenging Donald Trump in the same way that Charlie Sykes did, we have to remember that Charlie did a one and done. That's the term of art here in the journalism world. He knew he had one shot at Donald Trump. So Charlie Sykes, he took his opportunity. He knew it was going to be a one and done. He does not have to go back to Donald Trump ever again. People who are on the beat, people who work for our network, they have to keep that relationship going for a long, long time. Charlie did not have that burden, and as a result, he had the luxury of being incredibly blistering.
Well,
I can agree with that. However, I also can go back to the old news capabilities, the more actual integrity-based news, which is, yeah, it doesn't matter how you treated them, they'd come back to you because you were the biggest game in town.
Because back when, you know, there's a lot of things I don't like about media, new media, old media, whatever, especially after the era of the moon landings, when they were starting to get really aggressive and invasive. But there was one thing I did like about the old media was they didn't care how you felt about them, because if you wanted to be on the news, you have to come to them. They're the ones with the power. But nowadays, we've got these politicians who get all butt hurt and don't want to be asked the hard questions. And for some reason, the media just lets them get away with being bitches.
There's a difference. What's changed, I think, again, I go back to
competition.
What's
changed is that they're all being bought and paid for. That's what's changed.
It has a lot to do with commercialization. The fact they're trying to sell airtime and trying to sell commercials, and it's very much the commoditization of media and the capitalization of media. If you go back in the days of I will happily hold up Edward R. Murrow as a perfect example of the guy who, no, he's not going to let anybody back out of the question. He's going to ask you the hard questions. And no matter how he treats you, you're going to have to come back to him.
Yeah, but that's obviously not what happens anymore.
It's not the climate change. You can just go to another network, because the networks they'll gladly make that trade to say, hey, we're the only people that can talk to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there is some news out there. It's just ridiculous.
It was neat to see him say that on air, though. It's like, hey, here's the... Here's the little secret.
Yeah.
That most of us have known, but it's nice to see it actually said in public.
Yeah, call it with your pants down, definitely. Now check this story out as I bring it up here. Representative Debbie Riddle aims to ban women larger than an C cup for breastfeeding in public.
Larger than a B.
C cup, apparently. According to this article, show facts. Like facts. Oh, there we go.
Oh, her comments are incredible in that.
Yeah, it has become painfully obvious that the Republican Party in Texas is not a fan of the uterus. Everybody got that loud and clear. However, it now seems that some in the Republican Party are not fans of breasts either. Oh, that's terrible. Longtime progressive champion and pro-lady advocate Representative Jessica Farrar filed a bill that relates to the promotion of breastfeeding and the prohibition against interference with or restriction of the right to breastfeed, providing a private cause of action for denial of this right. The bill is intended to protect women's right to breastfeed. That's good, right? I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. The GOP is kings of naming something or selling something as one thing, and then when you look at it, it's something else. They're snake oil salesmen.
It sounds good.
It's called marketing.
Yep. So, however, it would appear that Farrar's bill also managed to raise some flags with, surprisingly, women. So Representative Debbie Riddle requested that the bill be modified to contain some conditions that not all mothers are going to like. Namely, the modified bill states, among other things, that, quote, only women who possess the breast size C cup or smaller shall be allowed to breastfeed in public areas. Asked to comment on the discriminatory clause in the bill, Riddle simply stated, quote, nature knows what it's doing. It's for the greater good. We already have more than enough distractions when walking the streets. We don't need this one as well. As to elaborate, Riddle stated that, quote, everybody knows what happens when a woman with a D cup size breast starts breastfeeding her child in the park or on the street. Everybody immediately stops and starts staring. That's not my experience, but okay. And that situation is not good for her
because she's like built like a 12-year-old boy.
I wasn't really going to go there, but okay, yeah. And that situation is not good for mothers, and it makes her the object of lustful gazes. lustful glazes. Do I want to?
Lustful glazes?
I think I
am going to have donuts tomorrow.
I think
that's a different topic.
Lustful glazes. And now I've lost my place. Men are, it's like, I am distracted by donuts. Anyway, men are generally the ones who profit from such situations the most, at least until their wives or girlfriends notice that they're staring. It's just distracting. So this is very dismissive of women with a
this is like borderline rape apologist.
Yeah.
Well, beyond that, the thing that gets me is, I found this from a number of years ago, a German group, and actually other people have done research on this, about breast size, average breast size in the world by country. Now, C is wonderful and everything else, and okay, people can say that's about a mid-size between what you'll get, regardless of your argument. However, the average breast size in the United States is a D cup.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Now, this does not ring true with at least my personal anecdotal evidence. I don't know that it's true everywhere, but studies...
Also, you have to remember that men are terrible at judging what those sizes actually mean.
It's true, yeah. Because it's relation to the rib cage size and all that, yeah.
Yeah, there's all sorts of other things going on there.
Go get measured properly. okay, so it's the studies part that bothers me. She says, quote, studies have shown that women with bigger breasts are not commonly associated with modest behavior.
As we are all proper scientists here, I would look at her and go, quote your findings.
Cite your sources.
Yeah, cite your sources. Because the last time I checked, most ladies with plenty of assets typically have a hard time finding clothes that fit, for one, so it's not about modesty as much as it is practicality. And usually they've been ridiculed or mocked or generally poked fun at throughout their lives and are usually trying to cover up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just hard to hide.
It is hard to do so, yeah.
I've got a friend who actually had reduction surgery because she started developing in elementary school and was into the J's before she decided to get it cut down because of back pain.
That would be J for jinkies. Yeah.
I've seen those pictures, and I'm going, damn, woman, you made a good choice, because I don't know how you would stand.
Well, at that point, standing is just painful, because it literally is lower back injury-inducing weight attached to their chest.
And then it's just bad for everything, because then you also, then you end up becoming sedentary, and that leads to all sorts of other health problems.
Including continuing to grow, which exacerbates the problem.
Exactly. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, definitely cite sources, because none of this makes any sense, even though she says that that's just common sense, she argues at the very last. So, this is the face of misogyny.
Yep.
And she's a trainer.
It's never where you expect.
No, not really. Yeah. So,
well,
it would be to Texas.
It's sometimes where you expect, but
sometimes
this is kind of
always
out of nowhere.
Mama Van, you are a gem. Just in the chat room, if big old titties distract Riddle, she is a bit of a lesbian.
Oh, clearly.
Well, yes, well, perhaps.
It also sounds like her big breasts distract her husband.
Yeah, so, yeah, she did seem to have a little bit of butt hurt over it.
I think she's lashing out a little bit out of jealousy here.
Perhaps.
But there's about a $5,000 fix for that, I'm told.
Yeah, it's possible. Yep.
Unless you're part of the Air Force.
Oh, what's that?
JP, my roommate, one of her aunts actually was in the Air Force, but the reason it worked for her, she actually had radically differently developed breasts. One was a B, one was a double D.
Whoa.
That's definitely different.
The Air Force paid for the surgery to fix it because that was deemed a medical issue.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's very good. Did we mention? Yeah, we mentioned laser tooth regeneration last show. That was a good one. Yeah,
that was all.
And we had a bit of voter suppression issues in Arizona during the primaries,
which are still actually exploding. And there's still things going on. There was a recent town hall in Arizona about that, and that got a bit heated.
Several major developments.
Oh, hang on, sir. Carry on.
Go ahead.
No, carry on. It was just one of those lovely auto-loading videos, which all of these seem to have.
The worst.
But yeah, it was a... Let's see. If I can find out from Mother Jones, actually, from 3 days ago.
Hang on, it's going to pop up again.
Apologize for the delay. I'm trying to
it's okay. I understand. I understand entirely. Here we have
several major developments on Wednesday after yesterday's long, long wait to vote in the Arizona primary here in Maricopa County. Let's start with Arizona Governor Doug Ducey saying the long waits were unacceptable. The situation needs to be evaluated and should never happen again. Ducey also calling for independent voters to be allowed to vote in the Arizona primary. The primary is closed. Arizona independents have to re-register with one of the parties. Helen Purcell, the Maricopa County recorder, has blamed independent voters for clogging up the lines by showing up.
What?
That's one big change the governor wants to see happen. That is significant. Also today, Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery will be discussing the vote yesterday at his regular news conference. The Maricopa County Board will also be taking it up in some fashion. We expect Democratic lawyers for the Democratic Party, to be at that Maricopa County Board meeting to discuss what went on yesterday. The board itself
has to
sign off on the voting maps, on the polling places that caused so many problems yesterday. The board had to formally approve the 70% reduction in polling places, even though it was recommended by Maricopa County Recorder Helen Purcell.
Wow. They had a reduction of 70% of their polling locations.
Yeah, they went from, I think, 200 or 180 to 60.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is what voter fraud looks like.
Also, coming from places like U.S. Uncut and Salon from a couple days ago, the Arizona Secretary of State actually confirmed election fraud that occurred in the state primary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. So what's the ramifications of that? Are they going to have to redo the primary?
Nothing.
This is one of those things where, because it's passed and everything else, they might say, no, the vote stands as...
They have already said they will not hold a recount. One. They are admitting rampant fraud, but they're saying, no, we can get away with it.
Or
what are you going to do?
Don't worry, we'll address it before the general election, is essentially what will probably happen.
It was just a dress rehearsal. We'll get that done by final.
The way you deal with this, the way you get them to actually change their stance on it is, as I said, be active, call people, make people aware of the stuff. If you're in Arizona, call their elections department, call their representative for the area. Do not let this die. Make it that much of a pain in the ass, and it'll be taken care of if enough people do that.
Thousands of angry Arizonans complained that their voting registries had mysteriously changed too independent in the system, even though they'd been lifelong Democrats, as reported by the Tucson Weekly.
Yes, that was one of the things that really got my attention.
Wow.
When I was in the service and I tried to apply for one of those
mail order ballots.
Yeah.
Absentee
ballots. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. I tried to apply for one of those. I had to submit my application 3 times because I was registering Democrat. And yep. The guy next to me who was registering Republican got his on the first try. Mine came late, so I wasn't able to submit it in time to vote.
Oh,
and actually, in other states.
Speaking of late,
also that thing happened.
Speaking of late, how about Washington D.C.?
Oh yeah, that thing.
Stephen, go ahead and give us a rundown on that, because I know for a fact that you've got something on that. I say I know for a fact. Maybe I don't.
I think
I may just be putting you on the spot.
Just in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders has left the ballot.
Last time I checked, Bernie Sanders will not appear on the ballot because while his campaign submitted all the proper paperwork,
that's right,
and paid the fee necessary to get him on the ballot, the Democratic Party did not file the paperwork until exactly 1 day after the deadline.
Yeah.
DNC, your corruption is showing.
Just a little bit.
It's hanging out a little bit. You might want to tuck that bag in.
Yeah.
Let's tuck that shit back.
Now, there's not many delegates that you're going to get out of D.C. You're going to get...
I don't give a damn. Yeah. It's the principle of the thing.
Right.
However, coming out of CNN Politics as of 1:26 yesterday, 1:26 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
Anita Bonds, chairwoman of the Washington, D.C. Democratic Party, said Wednesday she was confident presidential candidate Bernie Sanders would appear on the primary ballot despite a challenge filed with the city's Board of Elections. So apparently the actual party chairman is going, no, he's going to be there.
Because it's a little obvious.
It's super obvious. Because, again, like I've said before, and I'm going to keep bringing it up whenever it seems relevant, these people don't seem to realize that this is the age of the internet. You can't get away with this shit anymore.
Yeah, it's all just hanging out here, you know?
This isn't the 80s.
No.
The old tricks don't work because information travels so fast that the moment you do something,
yeah.
Boom.
Information travels so fast now, you can't beat it. I mean, I know there's a saying about it. The only thing that travels faster than light is a rumor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
You can't beat this.
Information travels so fast now that they're already tweeting about my mistakes tomorrow.
People are going to talk.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's right. Let me get out the teletype again. Pretty amazing. I don't think I have anything else. That was the other thing that was like, I know there's something else really enormous that needs to be discussed. What was that? There it is. So, what's next in the election cycle? So we've got, which primary states are up next here? Of course I asked that question and I don't know. Oh, wait, I know. Let me ask Alexa. When is the next primary?
The next primaries will be the North Dakota State Convention, which will take place on Friday, April 1st, 2016.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Alexa. Oh, yeah. By the way, Alexa is now part of the show in the Amazon Echo Dot. Little tiny thing that is going to live here on my desk.
Yeah. Friday was the North Dakota caucus, so today. Tuesday, April 5th, is the Wisconsin, I believe it's a primary, for Democrats. Then after that is the wonderful one that we're looking forward to and will be a fight. We hope it's not a fight. We hope that the Bernie Sanders campaign takes it with a knife edge or takes it to the nth degree, and that is New York on Tuesday, April 19th, where there are 291 delegates up for take. It is, however, a closed primary, so as we all know, that means unless you're part of the two parties, you can't vote.
Yeah. So let's see here. We got, yeah, they're still counting the,
this is shaping up to be a fascinating election cycle in that, oh, yeah. You know, I thought just a month ago, I would have said, I did say, I think that there's no way Trump would be allowed to happen. And now I don't think they can stop him.
Actually, no. Because of Rule 40B of the Republican National Convention, they can still stop that from happening.
Yeah. Wow.
Rule 40B states that up until the actual day of the caucus, or day of the convention, they can change the rules.
Yep. They have done, and there's precedent for it. They did it before to get rid of a candidate they didn't like in like the 20s or something.
Yep, they've done it in the past. Actually, no, there's actually more recent than that. Was they changed it slightly for, I forget which one it was. I'll have to look that up again.
Wow.
But no, they've used it in the past.
Mm. Wow.
There's precedent for it.
That's enormously lame.
Because, again, unlike...
That's the Republican Party.
But again, unlike the Democrats, where it's simply a... It's the one thing that the Democrats have on them when it comes to this, is Democrats, it's straight, how many delegates do you have? Cool. With the Republicans, it's... Not only how many delegates do you have, but it's did you carry enough states as the majority winner?
And even if you do all that, the committee can just decide, no, you're not worth being the candidate and get you and adjust the rules so you're no longer on the ballot.
Except, of course, they're going to piss off all of their constituents. By doing such a thing.
Well, the other times that they've done it, they did the same thing because it's always a popular candidate they can't control. They still pissed off their constituents, but because people are notoriously stupid, especially in the Republican constituency, they still voted red.
Again, the thing that people
don't know they can get away with this.
What Republican campaign strategists aren't getting, at least especially Donald Trump's campaign strategists, is the Democratic Party would absolutely, unequivocally love to have Trump be the Republican nominee because the amount of protest vote that will shift to the Democrats will be enormous.
Because there are enough people that are typically in the Republican voter base who cannot stand Trump that
they'll vote third party or they'll vote for the Democratic candidate.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'll
be a lot of Cruz supporters.
They also hate Hillary. So well, that's kind of a wild card, and I'm not really sure which way they'll go given that choice.
Well, a lot of them have said, you know, if it's Sanders and everything Sanders. You show polls going up, Sanders will win hands down, possibly 10% above or more, almost 20 than Trump, because you'll have that protest vote of people going, no, we don't like Trump, we're going to go with this guy.
Yeah, but
Hillary's a lot less liked.
She's so been anointed though.
Third party voting.
Yeah, she is the chosen one.
She's so obnoxious. I just I did not have strong feelings about Hillary Clinton until this election cycle. It was like I knew she was a senator. I liked some of her policies. I disliked others.
I like her more than her campaigning. Her campaigning's just
it
sets me off.
I was just neutral towards her, and now that I'm seeing her actually campaign for the big seat, I'm just like, you are not likable.
Again, Hillary had her shot in 2008 and should have taken the election then. That was the Hillary most of us liked. That was the Hillary most of us wanted. She had a good platform. She had a good stance. It was great. This is not that Hillary.
Yeah, this is, It feels like that she saw that she lost.
Yeah,
$1,500. And it's coming across, and it's not doing well for her.
No.
Doing well enough to make it a nail-biter of a primary.
Well, it's only a nail-biter because the DNC is doing everything they can to shut down the opposition.
However, a lot of people in the Democratic Party... A lot of people in the Republican Party are actually calling for Debbie Wasserman Schultz to be taken down and or campaigning for the people who are coming against her seat because they want her out of there because she's bending the rules almost to the point of breaking.
Because she is so obviously corrupt.
Even less corrupt, it's the fact that as part of the DNC, you are not supposed to endorse or favor any candidate.
She is blatantly ignoring the rules inherent in her office. That's corruption.
Hey, I've got one more corruption story, and then
let's go.
And then we'll get out of here. This one, we're going back to North Carolina. Yeah,
red state, shocker.
So get this.
Corruption? What?
Senator Tom Apodaca. Apodaca? Apodaca. Yeah, whatever.
Apodaca.
He has asked his staff to look to see how the General Assembly can charge the city of Charlotte to cover the costs of Wednesday's special session, including the possibility of withholding the city's sales tax revenues. Lawmakers met Wednesday and passed a law invalidating a measure to the Charlotte City Council passed last month to allow transgender people to use restrooms corresponding with their gender identity. So they called a special session to revoke that, and now they're going to charge them for it.
Well, you must be punished.
Well, given what other states are currently doing to North Carolina, they've got to get money somehow.
Charlotte brought this upon themselves, knowing exactly what they were getting into, Apodaca said. The one-day session convened at a cost of $42,000, according to the AP. But Apodaca wondered if the 18 Senate Democrats who walked out of the Senate vote Wednesday deserved their per diem pay, even. Everyone must be punished for this travesty.
Well, and because of the stuff they have in North Carolina, a number of states have now refused to pay any money for people to go there. Unless it's absolutely required, they will not pay for any kind of travel to North Carolina.
Yeah, it's a complete boycott. It's ridiculous. Oh, wow. What have we become? All over the nation. All over the nation, we've got this stuff going on, this horrible rhetoric, and let's not let people be happy at all.
Here's the thing, though. This has been going on for a long time, and there's been a steady push in the progressive direction to not have this continue anymore because, frankly, it's wrong. It's not just a pushback, it's a shove. This is a straight up, you know what? We just noticed what's going on in the world around us and we don't like it. We want the world back the way it was in the 1800s.
All the bigots woke up.
Remember the actual scientific article that came out, we think we covered a little while ago, which is conservatives have the brain is slightly different because they actually have a larger fear response.
Yeah. So they see the world changing around them. It has invoked the fear response, and it is fight or flight. It is on. And that's what
people of
the liberal persuasion need to understand about when going into this fight is what is at stake for the other party. It is on.
Yeah, it is a fight or flight response. You're absolutely correct about that. This is – and that really explains a lot of it.
So guess what that leaves?
If you see these people and think it's just politics as usual, if it's just this will blow over everything else, you have to realize that a lot of these people, a lot of the conservatives in these offices view this as a literal fight for their life or the quote-unquote moral center or life of the nation. For them, it's as real as any civil war in the world.
They are staring down the abyss.
Yeah.
And the abyss is saying, please grant us transgender and LGBT rights.
Again, once you understand that, then you understand the depth of the delusion and truth that these people are experiencing, but then you can actually deal with it. It's still horrifying.
Yes, make no mistake, they are delusional and it is pathetic, but it is also horrifying and you need to absolutely take it seriously.
Representative Chris Whitmire, Republican out of Transylvania, could not be reached for comment, but in an email newsletter dated Wednesday, he wrote, quote, "Today, the North Carolina General Assembly addressed this debauchery with a special session. This ordinance violated the North Carolina Constitution and infringed upon private property rights, religious liberty, and free enterprise, among other indiscretions."
Who says indiscretions anymore, unless you pulled that right out of church?
Who says debauchery? In a legal sense? Stop putting your hands up.
Yeah, I was about to say, I like that word.
I love that word, yes.
It's an amazing word. We need to bring it back.
Oh, it's fantastic.
We're bringing that back right now.
It never left my vernacular. No.
Debauchery for life.
Yes. Debauchery for life.
Bacchus for the win.
You should have been at our company party. My God, that was some debauchery.
Wine and revelry, yes. Yeah, North Carolina. You disappoint me, North Carolina. You're awfully pretty. I kind of wanted to move there, but
it's
this kind of thing.
It has beautiful things about it, some great people, great culture, except for this.
I love this picture. This guy's like, that's a horrible mustache. I mean, I don't like to call people out on their appearance, but really, you'd be better off with a naked lip there. I mean,
it's not a good look for you, guy.
It's kind of a skeezy looking. Yeah, it's not good. Let me see, can I blow it up?
Oh, there we go. For saying he had a really big mouth. Now I can actually see it.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's got a wicked stash there. It's not good.
He looks exactly like the type of individual who preaches church on Sunday and has a job at the government.
Is it the coat pocket square that he has? Is that's kind of a giveaway, I think. You know,
no,
trying
it's the position.
Just his whole overall look.
It's the body language.
Ooh, look at the big gold rings too.
Yep.
That's either like I played a lot of football, or I'm a Freemason.
Yeah.
It's either or right there. Or both.
I had a coworker that was like, "How'd you recognize I was a Mason?" I'm like,
"Well, you know, the jewelry is a bit of a giveaway."
It might be.
Nobody wears a ring that large unless they're a Mason.
Yeah.
And it's not a football one. So that ruled that out. Yeah, it's just what you said.
Yeah, it's either or. Yeah. It does look like he has two big ones. Anyway, well, enough nitpicking the man.
Man, okay. We'll pick nits all day long.
Well, we're not a Congress of baboons, so we shouldn't do things like that. Okay.
Or we could just picnic.
Parliament of Owls.
Yes, we're a Parliament of Owls. Much better, much better. Okay, so hey, I think we ought to get
crows,
on.
Because this would surely be a murderer.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we have enough.
Get out.
We do have enough for a murder of crows if we were all crows.
Get out.
Okay.
Which we ever saw.
On to picks and nitpicks. Do we have anything? Obviously, I've got my new little toy here. I've got the Echo Dot. This little fun little guy. Of course, I've done the Amazon Echo on previous shows. This is just smaller, and it has a headphone jack so that you can plug it into your big system. It does also have a micro USB so that you can plug it in to like a battery backup if you wanted, just a phone charger. Anything that'll do at least 2 amps. And then you could take it with you. Like, I'm going to rename the tethered internet on my phone to the one that is usually in my house. And I'm going to take it with me and just see how it goes.
Can't wait to see how that works out for you.
Might be interesting. I don't know. The kids love it because you can ask it to tell you jokes and it'll tell you horrible Rotary Club dad jokes all day long.
Awesome.
Nice.
I love it.
You want to hear
awesome.
Yes.
I must get one immediately.
Tell me a joke.
Why do ghosts love elevators? It lifts their spirits.
Oh.
See?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
That's the best.
Let the dad joke flow through.
Why was the broom late? It overswept.
Oh, it overswept.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's all that. It's also small enough to work as like a bedside alarm clock and things like that. Just it's the one that you'd like have with you and maybe carry around from room to room. Or it's so small you just have it in every room. Though it is a little bit difficult because it has the same sensitivity of its microphones, the big 7 microphone array on top, as its bigger cousin does. So having it here just on my desk while I was doing the unboxing review, which you can see out on YouTube and out on the page, the other one was picking up my voice and I was just kind of whispering to the thing too. and it was across the room and it was picking it up. So eventually I had 2 alarms going, you know, after 5 seconds. So you got to kind of watch out and have them spaced far enough apart. But yeah, the microphones are really sensitive. And yes, you can make the microphones not listen to you by hitting the little microphone, you know, don't listen to me thing. And then it goes red. It's like, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. And it's just listening for the keyword before it does anything. Obviously, it's pretty quick, so it is caching a little bit of what it hears, and then it looks for the word, and then it sends. I haven't done a Wireshark on it yet to figure out exactly how much bandwidth goes through the thing. I know other people have, and well, it's still selling like hotcakes, and I haven't heard any terrible reviews. Amazon went ahead and updated the entire Echo line. They kept the big one, the standard, that has the nice big 360 speaker. This has a small speaker in it, so it still works. It doesn't have to be plugged into anything, but it's not going to give you the rich sound. It's more like a cell phone speaker, just a little bit bigger. Maybe a laptop speaker. You know, still pretty small. They also have another one, which is the Amazon Tap, which it's battery powered. So it's a battery powered one that you can take with you specifically for that. But it does not have an always on listening feature. It's a little more ruggedized too, but you actually have to tap the button and get it to ask you things. Actually, you know, I haven't done that. Let me see. Tell me a joke. No. Okay. So if you have it on mute, even if you press the button to that would be the command button, it still won't do anything. So you do have to unmute it on this one. But otherwise, the other one's not listening to you, and who knows what else they're going to do. I mean, they did also add the Amazon Echo Alexa features to other things, in case you have one out there. I didn't want to set it off. They added it to the Amazon Fire TV, which is nice. That one also is not listening. You have to activate the... you have to activate it on the remote. Ow, 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 ow. You are made of sharps. Cat, you are made of sharps.
But it's time for my podcast.
It is. Okay. Ow. 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 Okay.
Sprocket wants to be on the show, too.
Shoulder cat. If he was a little bit smaller, he would just ride on my shoulder all day long. I'd have to get a pauldron or something so that he wouldn't actually dig in. But yeah.
You should get a pauldron anyway.
Just bring them back.
Awesome.
Just bring them back into fashion. Just wear them all the time. Yeah, that might work. I don't think so. I don't think that would work out so well. So that is the Amazon Echo Dot. It was only available to pre-order for those that already had an Amazon Echo. But I imagine that very shortly it will be available to more folks. So it just arrived today. So... convenient at that. So first come, first serve. So there you go. Anybody else have anything?
None for me, unfortunately. It's been a busy week dealing with, well, everything coming out of North Carolina and such, so none for me.
None for you. Mike, anything?
I do have a small one.
Okay. I will refrain from comment on that.
Y'all know Spencer's Gifts.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff in that store. Some of it's funny. Some of it's not. Some of it's just novelty crap. But they got in, and I got it as a gift, they got in like the double-walled insulated cups with a Vault Boy on them.
Oh, nice.
It says,
ooh.
Welcome home on the other side, and it's got the Vault Tech emblem. So they've got these Fallout double-walled cups, and I have one. I got it as a gift, and I love it. So... if you love Fallout, you can go get a cheap Fallout thing that you will love.
Nice.
Go get it.
So that's at Spencer's?
Yep.
All right. Excellent. Cool. I love those. Obviously, I've got a Pip-Boy behind me. You can see it up there. So
jealous.
Various other things. It's actually too small for most of the things that I want to do. So sad, but it's a nice thing to have on the wall. Okay. David, what you got? Anything? It's been a while since we've had you on the show. You've been a busy boy.
My pick for this week is Dapper Dan. Do you want hair like mine? Be a Dapper Dan man. Complete with a link to Amazon's Dapper Dan products.
Nice.
Wow.
Really?
if we're going to go with a real pick, Tesla just unveiled the Model 3.
Yes, they did.
It's beautiful.
I haven't had a chance to look at it.
I will own one someday.
So what's the price point since they unveiled it? Have they
$35,000?
So they stuck
and
with that.
If you're one of the first 150,000 pre-orders, you get $7,500 off.
$7,500 off plus probably the $7,500.
No, that is the tax credit.
So you just get the tax credit, or
you get the tax credit? Yeah.
So you won't get it otherwise?
I don't know why it's limited only to the first 150,000.
Yeah, it's like you won't get it otherwise? Unless they're including that $7,500 in the cost of the vehicle, that brings it down to $35,000. I mean,
I don't know.
$3,500 would be just a no-brainer. Go get one.
$35,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'll just.
I'd like to put half down now, and I'll pay you the other half next week.
Yeah.
How's
that sound? Yeah, no kidding. That'd be good. That would be good, but no, not so much. Yes, the Tesla Model 3. Ooh.
So the EPA minimum mileage that they're saying, the minimum you'll get is 215 miles.
Saying the dashboard's
working? The dashboard is a giant touchscreen display.
Anyone who's dealt with modern aviation, though, I look at that and go, okay, it's a glass cockpit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, $200 million in deposits.
The,
Wow.
What was he? Oh, all Tesla Model 3s will come with all of the autopilot hardware and functionality.
So when it's finally implemented,
you will...
Or when somebody hacks your car.
Yep.
Ooh. Hmm.
But hacking a car is not going to be the easiest thing in the world while it's moving down the highway.
Well, actually... It's been done.
It's been done, but it's been done. I mean, that's going to be a pretty targeted thing.
Well, it would be. It has to be. Yeah. Yeah. But essentially, these are always communicating. These are always communicating vehicles. So anything that had like OnStar or anything like that was vulnerable to it. And even if you don't enable OnStar or features like it, the system still is there. Mm-hmm. And active. All you have to do is call them up so that you could use it. Otherwise, it's there the whole time. So a hacker would be able to utilize that infrastructure that's already rolling with you all the time. So, yeah, hacking autonomous vehicles and just, well, non-autonomous vehicles is a thing. And it's been growing.
That's going to be an ongoing concern, but I think ultimately it's going to be of less concern than the 30,000 or so people who die every year.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because of pure human error and incompetence. So, given the choice between the two, I'll go with the autopilot, because hacking is going to be difficult for hacking to be so incredibly rampant that it's going to cause as much murderous mayhem as our roads currently have on them.
Yeah. It looks like the interior may not be completely done. It is a 17-inch touchscreen that's in the dashboard there. That is the dashboard. But yeah, that's $200 million in deposits within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. And the deposits are just $1,000.
Hey, that's a lot of cars.
That's a lot of cars.
Wow.
That's 200,000 vehicles.
That's if you do the minimum deposit.
Yeah.
Other people probably put in more money so they can have a lower monthly payment. I'm going to save for a few years, and it's going to be after we have a house.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then we'll have matching Tesla Model 3s.
Since
they don't have a firewall or an internal combustion engine, they were able to move the front seats forward and give the rear seats more room.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I'd love one, but this doesn't fit my needs.
Yeah.
What are your needs?
Need more.
I actually need a truck with four-wheel drive.
Oh, well, you can get the Model 3 with four-wheel drive. Not the clearance that you need.
Exactly. Well, beyond that, I would bury that thing in Georgia.
Yeah.
I own basically 500 acres of swampland in Georgia we hunt on, and no, I'd bury that vehicle.
wait. You own 500 acres in Georgia?
Yep.
We need to talk
later. Very southern Georgia.
That's fine. We need to talk later. Okay. So with that...
Is that your zombie apocalypse plan coming to fruition there?
Zombie apocalypse?
Silence.
Yeah, just silence. Sorry, I'm not saying anything.
I have hit the nail square on the head. Your non-answer is an answer, sir. Thank you.
Perhaps. Okay, finally, the sprocket was done with me being his lap. Okay. Oh, and with that, I think that we're done. Are we done, gentlemen?
I feel that we have successfully completed this April Fool's Day.
Absolutely. I do not feel the fool for it. So no. I'm rather proud of the little acting job that we did this morning,
now.
This afternoon, et cetera, this evening, whatever. I have no idea what time it is anymore. So we're good. Here we go. All right. That's it tonight. We'll be back next Friday about 9:30 Eastern. In the meantime, the conversations continue on the web. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's orellyradio.com. And you'll find all the links right at the top of the page there. And do watch us live and chat in the IRC, which is now out on Twitch, which seems to be working with my convoluted setup. Thank you very much for attending the chat room, Mama Van, Pope Deadpool. And I think we have all sorts of other people in there. Koranian Hips and...
Korian
Hips. And then, of course, us. Yeah, so we got a few people out in the chat room. Thank you very much for being there. And thank you to Fred for dialing it in today from getting married out in Las Vegas. Congratulations, you two crazy kids. All right. So if you've liked what we've done here tonight, even though it's vastly different than what we usually do, you can go over to the webpage and hit the Patreon. Follow the link on the webpage. That'll take you over to patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N, and then contribute to us on an ongoing monthly basis, or you can donate directly via the cleverly named donate button. If that's too rich for you, totally understand. How about you contribute some corrections, topic ideas, advertisements, unclaimed lottery tickets, hate mail, unsolicited advice, whatever you happen to have, send them over to us at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com and leave a voicemail at 470-222-ORLY or 6759. And forget the subreddit. Just email them to us at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a glowing review. Please, leave us a review, any review, anywhere that you found us. And like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google+, etc., 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 and subscribe to the YouTube channel and the Twitch channel so that you never miss an episode. Can't thank you enough for spending some time with us tonight. Until next time, this has been O'Reilly Radio, part of the Cowen Services Network. Music for the show is created by Kevin McLeod of Comtech.com. Thanks, everybody. Toodles!
Have a good night.
The broadcast has been successfully terminated.
It's in the can.
Yay!
I missed you guys.